Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to That 590 Show. Matt Berger alongside Matt Rocchio. Pablo Giamatti, who's in a big gunfire hurry to get out of here tonight. I barely had my bag unpacked, and here comes the opener. Giamatti's like, come on, man, let's get going. We got things to talk about. You're bleeping around.
Usually I plug the intro in there, and I have some spots to lead up into the show.
Yeah, you didn't do any of that.
Just started playing.
I just sat down. Next thing you know, I hear the opener going. Giamatti's like, get your ass in gear, Baldy. We got hot takes to dispense.
I've got Game of Thrones on my mind right now.
Okay, I don't want to hear any more about Game of Thrones, seriously.
Yes, you do.
No.
Of course you do.
The only people who care about it are you, in this room, are you two.
Oh, it's almost like you're outnumbered now. Hold on a second. I believe we have a guest at 6:20. Alrighty then. So, here we go. Giamatti, let's dive right in.
We are not going to dive into Game of Thrones. Giamatti, I'm so mad at you right now.
I'm mad at you.
I'm almost mad at myself, honestly.
I'm mad at you, Berger.
Why are you mad at me? Because I don't want to watch your dumb Dungeons & Dragons show.
And because you got my hopes up for a moment.
I watched like the 15 minutes of it. The ending, the last 15 minutes of that show last night, I'm like, this is stupid.
Well, Berger, Jesus Lord Almighty, you can't come into a show 7 seasons deep that this is complicated, watch the last 15 minutes of an episode and go, this is stupid.
It's stupid.
I agree that you're, like, obviously it's not going to hit your thing. I also am going to say that you literally built that up for failure in your own way. Like, of course you're not going to like it then. That's the dumbest thing ever.
The only thing I liked about it was seeing the mayor from The Wire in it. That was it. Tommy Carchetti. That's the only thing
yes.
I liked.
That's true.
That was the only thing I liked.
Exactly, and when I watch The Wire,
a big old stinger.
And when I watch The Wire, I'm like, oh, the mayor in Baltimore is Peter Baelish. That's interesting.
The Belmont Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255. The text line also available at 855-282-8255. And you can add us on Twitter at 590show, at Matt_Berger, at Rock590, and at JohnRudolph22. Joining us at 6:20 will be Jeff Gordon from STLToday.com. At 6:40, Brendan Schaefer from the IntrepidSTL.com. And then at 7 o'clock, Ted Berg from For the Win at USAToday.com. All guests appear courtesy of Bellman Automotive, BellmanCDJR.com. The first hour of the program is brought to you by Thomas Bax at American Family Insurance. Very happy to have a new sponsor, and they are starting today. Look, there's no way to get around it. You're going to need insurance, whether it's your car or your house or even your life. You need to be insured. But who can you trust? You can't go with a cartoon army general or a talking lizard. I made the call to Tom Bax with American Family Insurance at 314-298-7770. And not only did I save a ton on my car and renter's insurance, I know I've got coverage and an agent I can depend on. You really can't put a price on peace of mind, and that's what you'll get when you call Tom Bax with American Family Insurance at 314-298-7770. Big congratulations to our friend Lindsey Eversmeyer, Fire and Ice SC, winning the 2017 NWPSL Championship, the second one in franchise history. So she is over the moon excited. Yeah. She's ecstatic. I can't be happier for her. I mean, she had a long week of trying to raise the funds and get the team out there to San Diego and try to keep that team focused, and then to win two games this weekend to take on the title. So congratulations to Lindsey. Let's quickly head to the Belmont Automotive phone line, and Mark joins us. Good evening, Mark. How are you?
I'm fine. How about you, Jim?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
I don't know who's having the most trouble, the White House or LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, man? What is going on?
Oh, I mean, you're forgetting about the baseball team here in town. I mean, they're kind of like taking a cue from the White House. If you're going to be awful, at least be entertaining. And the Cardinals team, at least they're interesting. They're not boring like they normally are. They didn't do anything today. They didn't do one damn thing today to make the team any better. Then you have the internal beef between a very popular player and manager, who I think needs to go. And then
they didn't move Lance Lynn. They didn't move him.
Who?
Lance Lynn. No.
Lance Lynn. No.
No, they did not. They held on to him.
In fact, Giamatti, we have the sound ready. Here's the sound of the Cardinals front office during the trade deadline. John Mozeliak, what do you think about what the Cardinals did today in the trade deadline? No, I wanted the crickets. There we go. Quit thinking about Game of Thrones.
It's hard not to.
It's very easy to not think about Game of Thrones. Well, Mike, general manager Mike Gersh, what do you think about what happened today? That's what we got today was crickets.
Well, Matt, you remember we discussed this. I told you. I said the Cardinals not going to. Man, all they're going to do is try to get one of these players past their prime. They'll sign somebody
they
like
didn't even,
that.
They didn't even do that. They didn't even do the typical Cardinal move, which is to trade, like, you know, somebody that you've barely heard of for a reliever that you've never heard of. They didn't even do a typical Cardinal move. I kept waiting. I think it was Bob Nightingale had something on USAtoday.com a few weeks ago about they were going to trade Tyler Lyons to the Orioles for Brad Brock, and that didn't even happen. I kept waiting for that to happen, and it didn't.
Well, I don't know, man. Like I said, I guess they satisfied with what they have, you know?
Yeah, which is a very mediocre, middle-of-the-road team. They're not god-awful, but they're not great, and they're not going to win anything. And this is what this is another thing what they did too. And we're going to talk about this with Jeff Gordon and with Brendan Schaefer. What they've done is that they put a lot of pressure on themselves to get the ship right during the offseason, during the Hostove League. And I mean, what player can you get in the offseason that you couldn't get today? I'm not asking that rhetorically. I'm going to ask them that. I don't know what players that were available that are going to be available in the offseason they couldn't get today.
Man, how come they didn't go after that guy, J.D. Martinez? Man, that guy's pretty good, decent, man.
He is
Why
pretty good.
Go after him?
He is pretty good, and I don't know if it's one of those things where they overvalue their prospects too much, if that's what it is. I'm beyond frustrated with this team. I really am. I'm tired of hearing the excuses, too. Well, we tried.
And you know
you know what? Sometimes try. What did Yoda say? Try or try. There is no – either you do or you do not. There is no try.
And mark this down, Matt. Remember I said this. It's going to be some trouble between the Carson Kelly and Yadier Molina splitting this time here.
Oh, and I don't think there's trouble between those two. I think there's trouble between Molina and Matheny. I don't think Molina respects Matheny at all. I think this whole blow up. I said it on Friday. I don't think if you're looking at it individually, it's not about that. I think it's a collection of things, and Molina finally just couldn't take it anymore, and he went to Instagram and he made that post. And he's taking a lot of flack about it from Cardinal Nation because he went to social media about it. And let's face it, Cardinal Nation isn't exactly on the cutting edge when it comes to social media and what millennials do. But I mean, that's what athletes do now. They lash out on social media. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what they do.
But you know, Molina is a competitor, and this guy's not going to want to be splitting time with Carson Kelly. If that's what they have in mind next year, I'm telling you right now, that's going to be headed for disaster.
Well, I agree with you, and this is one thing they should have done before they even signed Molina, going, hey, you know what, we got this prospect in Memphis that we like a lot. He's going to be someone who's eventually going to replace you whenever you decide that you're going to hang up your gear. And we are going to split time with you. If you have a problem with that, we're not going to sign you to an extension. If you don't have a problem with that, then sign away. I don't know if they had that conversation with Molina. It sounds like they didn't,
they
maybe.
They probably didn't. You know they didn't have that conversation with him. You know
and they didn't.
Man.
That is a gross oversight on the front office. I can't hang that on Molina.
That's why I said they should have traded Molina, man. If you got an up-and-coming young player, man, I mean, it's better to get rid of the girl. I mean, get rid of Molina a year or two too early than to get rid of him a year or two too late.
I agree with you. I agree with you 1,000%. But the thing is that, man, I was at the game on Saturday and I saw so many number four jerseys and jerseys. I probably see more number fours than I see any other player. I think that probably was also giving Molina the comfort to lash out on Instagram too against Mike Matheny, going, yeah, you know what? I'm the most popular player this team has. He got the loudest ovation of anybody when they do the lineup. And when he had his first at bat, Yadier Molina got a louder ovation than anybody. And Molina knows there's going to be a bronze statue of him out front next to Dizzy Dean and Ozzie Smith and Lou Brock and Bob Gibson. So I think Yadier Molina's kind of like, yeah, you know what? What are you going to do, Matheny? Go ahead. Do something. I dare you. And he knows Matheny won't.
Yeah, well, I tell you, man, it's going to be a disaster waiting to happen. I mean, they ain't go out and make no kind of moves. I just don't know, man. Like I said, maybe they satisfied with what they got, you know.
Well, if that's the case, man, they're gonna whenever that stadium is gonna be half full, come September, you know, come August and September, they got nobody to blame but themselves.
But they don't care. They didn't make their 3 million. Didn't they?
That's true. Yeah, they sold 3.3. Yeah, they already sold 3.3 million tickets.
Right. They don't care.
That's not the attendance so far. That's just how many tickets that they've sold. They've already sold 3.3 million tickets. So you might, I mean, there may be something to that. They'd be kind of like, hey, you know what? We sold our tickets. If they're unhappy, well, we'll just do something in the off season to regain their trust, and yeah, you know, we'll be right back where we were.
Right, give them a free cut, hot dogs, have a fan appreciation day. You know, that's how they do it, man. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, for them not to make no kind of moves, I thought at least Lance Lynn was going to be out of here.
I kind
of
did too, you know, because
you know,
I don't know if the Wainwright injury had something to do with it and why they held on to him. I don't know if they think, okay, well, if we don't sign him, we'll just make him a qualifying offer, and then whoever does sign him will get their draft pick. I'm not sure what the philosophy is. I would imagine it's what I just said, that they're going to try to sign him, and if they don't, they'll make him a qualified, they'll QA him, and then whoever signs him, whatever team signs him, the Cardinals will get that draft pick. I would imagine mm-hmm. that's what they're going to try to do. But, I mean, right. I'm not saying that they could have made a move where, you know, all of a sudden they're going to overtake the Cubs this season, but what you could do is you could make a move, and if you get the right kind of player, maybe it's a player that you could build on for next year as well, too. You know, no one's saying right. you got to solve all your problems today, but just solve a problem today.
Yeah. Right. Just solve one problem and move on to the next problem to be solved. I mean, I guess,
it's going to be one of the things. Either they think that they don't have any problems, which I can't imagine is what they think, but maybe they do. Maybe they think they don't have any problems, or maybe they don't have the pieces that they need to solve those problems, whether they don't have the prospects to trade, or they think that whoever's out there they can't get or they can't get.
Well, if they was 40 games over 500 like the Dodgers, then they wouldn't have problems.
Well, and look what the Dodgers did. The Dodgers made all kinds of moves.
Right, I know it.
The Dodgers made all kinds of moves. And so do the Royals, too. The Royals, I mean, they're a little bit different. They got some big players that are going to be unrestricted free agents, and more than likely they're not going to hold on to either one of them. So the Royals are a little bit different. They're in a really win-now mode.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. We just have to wait and see. What, like you said, there's a lot of pressure going to be on them during the High Stove League. They're going to have to make some big deals. I mean, they're going to have to be willing and dealing.
Now, you know, but before you go, you wanted to talk about Kyrie Irving.
I was just basically saying that he was at a party basically mocking LeBron James. Man.
Well, no, he was laughing. He was laughing at Steph Curry.
Yeah, he was
laughing at Steph Curry.
Yeah, Mark, he was at – Mark, hold on a second. He was at Harrison Barnes' wedding, and then Curry started making fun of the video that LeBron put out right after they lost to the Warriors in the finals. LeBron put out a video where he was listening to music, and he was dancing to it, and he was working out. And then, yeah, you can see as the camera pans over, Kyrie laughing hysterically to Steph's right. LeBron impression. It was like this NBA offseason is beautiful and lovely, and I don't want it to ever end because this is amazing.
No, that's my teammate, man. I would say that's my teammate. I wouldn't be laughing at my teammate.
Well,
like
it's not
that.
He doesn't want him to be his teammate anymore. That was the ultimate betrayal. I loved it.
And I've heard so many different rumors about what's going on with the Cavs. I heard that last season, after the Cavs won the title, that LeBron was going to management saying, hey, we need to trade Kyrie, and we need to get Chris Paul in here because Kyrie doesn't play defense and Chris Paul does. I heard that rumor.
LeBron's not wrong.
He's not, but okay, but we're bashing Kyrie Irving about being a bad teammate. What's LeBron James being right there? I don't think what Kyrie Irving is doing, what Kyrie Irving is doing, is wrong either. I don't think
it's wrong. I think it's
his
career.
Man. I mean, why I want those guys? I mean, the thing of it is, Kyrie wants to be the star of the team, but you're not the star. You got LeBron James there. If you want to be the star, just go somewhere else.
But what happened though back in 2014? They signed Kyrie to this extension, telling him, okay, well, we're going to build a team around you. And then, like, 2 weeks later, here comes the SI article and LeBron and that stupid song, I'm Coming Home. And then, bam, everybody completely forgot about Kyrie Irving. It was all about LeBron James coming back to Cleveland. And the players that are on the team right now, they're not suited to fit to play with Kyrie Irving. They're fitted to play with LeBron. So LeBron decides that, you know, when I'm done playing in Cleveland, I'm going to go play someplace else. And Kyrie Irving is stuck in Cleveland with a bunch of players that he doesn't like.
Wow. Well,
so that's the case. Do you blame Kyrie?
No, I don't either. I see your point.
SI.com has this great article about what teams could trade for Kyrie Irving. And the team that makes the most sense, and this is actually the best trade that I saw, was with Minnesota. And what Minnesota would give up and what they would get, the Cavs would get Jeff Teague and Andrew Wiggins, and the Timberwolves would get Kyrie Irving. That is a great trade.
Okay, yeah.
I like that trade a lot, actually, for both teams.
What about him going to the Spurs? You don't see him fitting in with
the Spurs? No, there's no way. There is no way he goes to the Spurs. Another one that was pretty good, I mean, granted, I'm heavily biased because this is my team, and that is the Miami Heat would get Kyrie Irving and Iman Shumpert. The Cavaliers would get Goran Dragic, Justice Winslow, and Wayne Ellington. That's not a bad trade either.
I don't even know if for Kyrie. Apparently, I can't remember if it's Spoelstra or if it's Riley or if it's both of them. Apparently, they have the biggest man crush on Justice Winslow. They apparently fawn over Justice Winslow down in Miami. It's either Spoelstra or Riley or both of them.
Well, because he's a good defender.
But there's been reports that they both just they're just obsessed with Justice Winslow, and they were like they were bouncing off the walls when they were to draft him. So I think it'd be a good trade for both sides, but I just wonder if they'd pull the trigger.
We'll see what happens, but I mean I just can't see how Kyrie Irving and LeBron are going to coexist next year. I think the well's poisoned.
The only way they could probably work together if this is all work. If LeBron told Kyrie, "I'm in LA next year. Get yourself out of here before that." Unless this is all a work, I don't see how this works.
There's no way it's a work. There's no way. Come on.
The only reason I say it is because NBA players, I think, are the most aware of how much the littlest thing they can do can move fans.
But
Kyrie's coming home video and things like that. Oh,
Cleveland already, they're ready to run Kyrie Irving out of town.
They are.
Rocky, if Kyrie Irving leaves the Cleveland Cavaliers, he can't get a max offer from any other team.
That's true.
Well, okay, and the super max offer that he could get from Cleveland only counts if he makes one of the all NBA teams. And yeah. I don't see how that's going to happen. Not a point.
And there's also the idea of if you are Kyrie Irving, do you have enough self awareness to realize that if you ever want to build a team that can compete for championships, you're gonna have to add another two or three stars. So maybe you being on a supermax deal probably helps your future team out in that
one
respect.
Thing I keep hearing that's making me laugh is about how LeBron's gonna go to the Lakers next year and do what? LeBron on that Lakers team is not gonna beat the Warriors.
Right.
Well, unless he just wants to go out there because he wants to play in Los Angeles.
Well, not play in Los Angeles so much as he wants to bring his entire business together with the end of his career. And he wants that to all mesh together at the end, and he wants to make gobs of money for himself.
I'm telling you right now, if LeBron does that, you know what he's saying? I'm never catching Jordan. I'm stuck at three. I might get four. I'm never getting to five, and I'm never getting to six. If LeBron makes that move, I would really be stunned. As competitive as LeBron is, and he's going to be like, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to go hang out with the Lakers.
You don't think there's a spot when competitive can turn from being competitive in sports to competitive in business? I'm not saying each other, but I think it can,
but not. I mean, LeBron's only, what, 32, 33? He's a little young to be giving up.
He's a little young, but man.
If he was like 36 or 37, it would make sense.
He just seems to be so much more aware of his brand the last 3 or 4 years. It just seems to be like we've dealt with a different LeBron since Miami. We're in a new chapter from Miami LeBron where it's not necessarily, where obviously he loves basketball. I'm not trying to say he doesn't care about winning, but I'm saying I feel like we're seeing a LeBron that's entered a new chapter of his life where it's about what he can build.
I mean, like, look,
down the road. I'm not saying he's just not trying to win though. I don't want to get that across.
Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball and Julius Randle, they may develop into pretty good NBA players. I don't know, but are they going to get good enough that by the time LeBron is still kind of in his prime-ish that they're going to take down the Golden State Warriors? No way. No friggin' way. So if LeBron does that, in my opinion, he's punting. He's just saying, yeah, you know what?
Well, don't forget, I'm stuck at three. They'll have enough cap room to swing another star. If they swing Paul George, does that not give you enough?
I mean, it all depends
on... That sure changes the equation.
It kind of does, but it all depends on how Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram develop. Yeah. If they develop into really solid, really great NBA players really quickly, then yeah. If not, then no. And by the time LeBron... I mean, by the time maybe they're ready to go... Who knows what kind of condition LeBron's going to be in? Who knows if Paul George is going to stick around? Mark, we appreciate the phone call, sir. We got to go.
Take it easy.
Have a good night. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Jeff Gordon from STLtoday.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.